4 years, Adam.
Is this the day?
This is the episode of 4 years. No, it isn't.
Oh, you forgot our anniversary.
There was a leap year in there.
Oh.
2012 was a leap year.
So what does that mean?
209 is 4 years.
I'm confused.
Well, because every 4 years, we add an extra day because of the Earth goes around the sun, right? You know that, right, Copernicus?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to episode 208 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
What is going on, Adam? How is the weather in Vancouver?
It's fine.
I thought we had sunshine there.
No. Well, no.
Oh. I heard it was a sunny green Christmas.
Yeah, it's very warm. Like, I keep trying to wear my winter jacket, and then I'm profusely sweating, and soon it ends up being carried on my arm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Does that tell you? But I don't learn. I still put on the winter jacket the next time I go out.
Well, that's good to hear. Good to hear that you're not learning.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
No, I learned. I don't wear my winter jacket if it's warm out.
Okay. I'm going to really work on that.
I'm a sweaters and a layer guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? It's funny you mentioned that, though, because this is the time of year. It actually cooled off here, and we got snow today for the first time in like 2 years. But this is the time of year that baffles me. Because you it's cold outside, so people start to wear sweaters, and then you go to people's houses for Christmas parties and holiday parties, and everybody has the thermostat cranked up to 42 Celsius.
Yeah.
For the 103 for the Fahrenheit people. So everybody has the Fahrenheit cranked up as high, or the thermostat as high as it can go, yet everybody's wearing sweaters. So I don't do that. I always like this is I wear more t-shirts this time of year than I do in the summer. Because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's baffling to me, but I think the takeaway here is dress in layers.
Okay.
That way you'll never be uncomfortable.
Okay. Okay. Do you think anybody listened to the Christmas episode this year?
I know some people listened.
Wow.
Yeah.
We apologize to those people.
Why?
Well, that's an hour they'll never get back.
No, come on. It was. You know, the one I will point out, it was the fourth one.
Right.
I can't believe I let you win on saying it was the third one, even though it was the fourth one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that was number four.
Okay, so now I didn't win because you're not letting it go now.
No. You didn't win then. You don't win now.
So. Hey, you want to hear something photography related?
Yes, of course.
It's kind of a little bit of a rant for this week. Well, it's just
I heard about. You know what? I got a heads up on this from your wife.
I don't know. There's probably another one. I know I had another rant that my wife mentioned, but I forgot about. This is not the rant. I don't think it is.
Okay.
Okay, so if I tell it to you and then it's not the one, bring up the other one because I'm sure I'm mad about something else.
I'm also mad about that other one.
Okay, I'm sure you will be. But this one was, Boxing Day was yesterday here, right? Like
correct.
That's the Canadian kind of day after Christmas, big sales, crazy malls, all of UK.
UK does Boxing Day.
Okay, so everything's a fantastic deal. They're kind of the Black Friday equivalent for us Canadians here.
It was the first Black Friday.
Yeah, so anyways, I was stupid and went to the mall to look around. And anyways, just walked by the camera store. Wasn't actually going to look for camera gear, but just... I'm one of those people that if I'm, within a city block of the camera store and nobody's crying for daddy's attention, then I might walk in.
Mm-hmm.
So I went inside, and of course, guy looking at the 5D Mark III, chatting with the the salesperson, and I not even trying to listen in, but of course hear the question about, oh, hey, what's, you know, why should I get this camera? And the sales pitch was something along the lines of, you can basically take pictures in RAW format, in mm-hmm. JPEG format, or in both. And the guy was, wow. And then he was, you know, holding.
Whoa. Wait a second. You were at the mall yesterday, or was this 1997?
Yeah. This is yesterday. And the best part was, you know, he was like all into it. And then he's like, well, does Nikon, you know, give you the ability to do that as well? And the camera guy was, well, yes, they do. Yes, they do. And here's an equivalent camera. Again, of showing him only the $2,500 to $3,500 camera range cameras. So we have the internet nowadays, and I'm mystified by the fact that, you know, people are going in and looking at these kind of purchases completely blind.
Depends. Which camera store?
This is Broadway Camera.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
Okay. Because I feel like there are certain stores that you can go into and the guy's going to shoot you straight.
Yeah, that, like, should be one of them.
That should be one of them. Like, there's a few that I feel confident of. Like, I could send somebody to and say, just go ask this guy. He'll tell you exactly what you need. You're going to walk out of there with the camera you need plus 10%, which is kind of, you know, that's not dirty pool at all.
Yeah.
That 10% is fine. But this sounds like this guy went in there looking for probably a $400 camera. And may have walked out with the $3,500 camera.
I didn't stick around to see how it was going to turn out because I was too angry.
You should have been wearing your two hoser shirt under another shirt and, like, pull it off like Superman in the phone booth.
That, if it was your layering system, that would have worked perfectly.
Like I'm saying. But then just to step in and just say, listen, forget it.
Yeah. Like
no, come on.
I just felt like I'm a grumpy old man now, and, you know, I can't even look around and not be in some way irritated, especially when it comes to photography stuff, but maybe just life in general. I don't know.
I feel like for me, I feel the same way, that I am a grumpy old man, and not because I feel this way, but because I feel like for a while I would vocalize it. For a long time, I would just forget about it and ignore it and go on with my life. Now I'm vocalizing it.
Yeah.
That's what makes you the grumpy old man.
What was the other thing that my wife gave you a heads up for?
I'm going to name names because they have let me down thrice consecutively.
Okay.
London Drugs.
Oh, God.
It's to the point where I'm going to phone London Drugs and make them listen to this episode, like that scene from Clockwork Orange where they got the eyes pried open.
I'm so unhappy right now. You have no idea.
No, I... False. I have a very good idea because you don't have to try that hard to make me happy at London Drugs.
Right.
Like I'm not asking for anything that you haven't done before. Just keep doing what you're doing. Like, do you know how I equate this to, I don't know what happened there. I have no idea why they're doing what they're doing. But to me, it's like, have you ever had a really good pair of running shoes? Like, just like running shoes that you just think, these are the greatest. They fit me perfectly. Everything. The end.
Right.
And then you wear them out and you go back to buy them again. You're like, I'm going to buy another pair of these. And, oh, we don't make those anymore.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We have these ones made out of sandpaper and snot. And like, well, no, these are terrible. No, we don't. Oh, we improved. If something's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Just keep doing what you're doing. And London Drugs, they fixed something, and now it's worse than ever.
Yes.
What was your experience?
My experience, and now I'm going back through previous photos to see where it's a consistent problem over the last couple of years, is anything done white background. So I took a couple pictures of my daughter in her dance outfit on white background, and you know, I got the screen calibrated. I basically get the pictures to where I like them. I check it on my monitor, my iPhone, my iPad, you know, just to make sure it looks it looks the way I want it across multiple devices, because I want to get it printed for my parents as a Christmas present. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I go through all of this, and then I'm like, okay, I'm happy. I'm going to get it as an enlargement. I'm going to get one copy for my parents, and I like the photos so much, I'm going to get a copy for me and put them both in frames, and here we go, right? So I get the enlargement printed. I think I got it, it's the original crop, so 4x6, so I got it as 8x12. So I got these, and I got 8x12 frames, got it printed, and the background, the white background is it's too dark. Like, they've somehow brought back a bunch of shadow in the raw or not in the raw file, in the JPEG file that I didn't want, right? So they, mm-hmm. again, this is the whole problem of going with their, like, altering the image, because you think that, you know, they're gonna somehow, it's gonna be screwed up if you go with your original. So they bring back shadow.
Now when you go to London Drugs or other places, you have the option of saying, hey, listen, don't touch this, I have corrected this, just print what you see.
But then that gets screwed up too.
That always gets screwed up. I've had that where it's like, okay, a good 50% of them are reasonable.
Yeah, it's
and no, then that, the other ones are not. And I think so my whole fear is that, like, I don't want stuff to be too dark.
Right.
And so I tell them, okay, well, go ahead and you know, do what you do. You know what you're doing. You have a big store. Yeah. You have stores across Canada or BC. I don't know. I don't work for the company.
Yeah.
But you have tons of stores. You do say you're a professional lab and you aren't. So anyways, so now you do check. I also check the box of, hey, go ahead and correct them for your system.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I'm like, I get them in the frame and I'm like, no, that's not what I want. It's just not good enough. So I basically go into Photoshop and then I lighten the background even more, right? So I'm just like, okay, I'll bring the background up even more so that fixes the problem. Well, of course, check it on all the devices, check it on my monitor. Looks perfect. I go print again, two copies of the enlargement, right? None of this is super cheap, right? So then, and I don't know, like, what to do about the whole thing. So I get it printed again, thinking of, okay, this time it'll be perfect. And now somehow there's it brought back enough highlights to see some, like, Photoshop smears in the background. So it looks like the photo's dirty, except for I've checked the images on every device again, and that's completely not visible. It's only in their profile they're using that, again, wants to darken that background, and then it brings in things that I cannot visibly see in Photoshop. Yeah. So I just quit. And then the other thing was, I went to look at other white background stuff that I've had printed from other sources. So, like, one thing that we get printed often is calendars, and we got calendars printed from Shutterfly. They do white background really well. It, like, none of the all the images printed exactly how I wanted them. And then I looked at other white backgrounds from London Drugs in the past. So I did other Sarah Ballet ones that, again, they did the same thing to the point where they're like, I can't even use them. And then I did ones with the kids in the background, back to school photos this year that I posted white background, same thing. They brought in all this shadow highlight stuff that isn't visible to me. So they're just out. I find that the frustration level is too high to even print another photo from London Drugs. So I'm officially out. I'm out.
I as am I. Now, I was already out, and they kept bringing me back in.
Well, our problem here is there's not a lot of easy options. Like, I want something that I can just pick it up and, you know, do it on the computer and pick it up. Everything else that is good quality that I've been able to find is all shipped to you. And I'm all about immediacy. So that hurts me. It hurts me
okay, but that's reasonable. Yeah. Like that's reasonable to say, okay, here's the trade-off. Now, I back in the day, I got burned by London Drugs a couple times, and I moved on I'm going to say Black's Photography.
Yeah, it doesn't exist out here anymore.
That's the problem. Yeah. I went there, and they printed a full 200 pictures worth of photos for me, and like 99%, which means 198 of them were perfect.
Right.
And I was like, wow, you guys, you're it now. Like, I can't wait. I'm going to come back here every time. 2 weeks later, out of business.
Well, they're still in business. They're just like in BC anyways, uh-huh. or the ones in Vancouver. the storefront doesn't exist, so it's all online. So you can do everything, because that's what I sent a present to somebody for the holidays, and I just had it done on Blacks online and then shipped to wherever. So I think I'm going to just try shipping from Blacks to my house and see what that quality is. Yes. Like.
Yeah. I think you have to pass up on the immediacy. You have to give up something. But like for me, the rub is that it used to be great.
Yes.
And now I always hear people say, well, you know, you can download the profile from
I tried that.
Yeah, no, I've been through all that too. Something is going on, and I know my dad has the same problems. He takes photos down he wants printed, and he'll take six different versions of it. Like he'll have lightened the background, darkened the background, like all the things that you've just done. He'll take six different ones, print them, and then tell them, okay, print this version as large, the one you did here, and make it look like this.
It's way too much of a pain in the butt. Like that, I just can't see doing that.
No, yeah. I don't want to do it either. He pulls his hair out. He says, but he doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Now there are options. There is a place that I'm going to go ahead again mention. I had your wedding photos printed there, because when I did your wedding, I shot it on film, and I wanted it, you know, done properly. And plus, I didn't shoot just regular film. I shot, you know, pro film, and so I took it to a place called Custom Color. Not a sponsor,
right?
But they're in Vancouver, like they're downtown, and so they're not easy access. But they will do digital files, and I think you're going to pay a little bit more than you would at London Drugs, but they're going to be done properly,
right?
So I recommend if you're in Vancouver, check them out.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know. I have heard good things online, you know, about some places online, but it is frustrating.
Yeah, and I can honestly say, like I didn't know what to do. I was so frustrated because that's kind of been the go-to place. And I had friends that I did pictures for, and they printed them at London Drugs, like, but they're a color background. Like it was like, you know, trees and green out of focus background. And they printed them and were in big frames. And I saw them at their house the other day and they looked fantastic. But again, it's a hit and miss ratio that's too high for me now.
I think they have the algorithm set to make the faces look, you know, perfectly, like one stop over middle gray.
Yeah,
I think that's what it must be. They must have some brand new, you know, better algorithm that ruins it. Because I just had both of my kids' photo albums. Like I print the photos and then I actually make an album, right? As I mentioned a couple episodes ago. And so this year I managed to whittle my kids' photos down to a solid 195 photos each for the year.
Yeah.
It used to be higher. I used to have to do two albums for my daughter for her first year. It was two albums because I couldn't get it down, which I look back now and think, well, that was stupid. I didn't need all of those. But this year I got it down to like, I think one was 196 and one was 198. And, and two thirds of the photos are good.
Right.
But that's pretty low. I mean, but some of them, I've underexposed the faces or whatever, you know, to sort of balance with the background or whatever, and they've just bring the face up.
Right.
And that just completely trashes the photo, and I'm not happy. So I hear you. So I'm not going back there either.
Okay.
All right. How was Christmas, Adam?
Christmas was great. Yeah, both of my children thought it was the best day ever. I didn't take a lot of photos. I took a few. Again, my Christmas present was all my photo gear that I got like a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So I just set up I set up all my toys, like the softbox with the portable power system and the Alien B light all up, just in the corner. And when I wanted to take a photo, I just basically used that as one light source. I had all the ambient knocked down. So I took a few photos that way. A couple of the, you know, when we wanted to send a photo to somebody for the present that they gave, the kid would sort of hold the present. I'd snap it. And then we could sort of say that was sort of like, you know, for people trying to keep track of a few thank yous. Right.
Yeah. I did the same, but see, for me, it's living over here and having, you know, all my friends and family in Canada still, I feel the added pressure to sort of document Christmas a little bit more because they don't get, you know, they don't spend as much time with the kids.
Yeah.
And so I feel that pressure. And so for me, it's on camera bounce flash. 50 mil lens on the full frame with just the flash bouncing into the wall/ ceiling. And that's it. I don't go crazy. I just want to document what's happening.
Yeah, and I think that's the and I use the 50 mil as well. And I think that's probably the perfect setup. And I thought about exactly that, except for I wanted to play with my new stuff. So
yeah, absolutely.
That was really the only reason. Completely unnecessary.
I did want to get all that stuff out too, and thought about it, but at the end I was like, no, come on. We were hosting Christmas dinner for the first time because we had the new house. All the relatives came here and cooked a big, actually barbecued salmon, just like Canada, you know. Even though everyone has turkey, but my father-in-law he wanted barbecued salmon.
Yeah,
and so he dropped what I think my first car cost less than the salmon he bought. I'm not joking. It's close. It's pretty close. Within $20 of my first car.
Wow.
Yeah. When you do it.
Can you drive it?
The salmon, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's a right-hand drive though. It did come from Scotland, but he didn't care. He's like, "Okay, I really want a really good salmon for dinner," but he's like, "Look, Alan, you know how to fillet it. You fillet it." I was like, wow. I mean, I $20 salmon, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
But spending that kind of money on a salmon, I was so nervous. But I did fillet it. No, not a single bone. I did my best fillet job ever.
Wow.
But it was just the pressure. I was like, oh my God. I think I peed a little at one point. You know, so we did that. So that was good. Got a Christmas present from Dawn. I didn't want to bring it up on the show necessarily because make you sour.
Why?
I got a present from Dawn.
Yeah, I did not.
No, I think, yeah.
No, it's probably stuck in the mail.
No, Don, maybe it's a spoiler for you then. Maybe yours is on the way. But it surprised me. Christmas Eve day showed up in the mail. He bought me the actual old vinyl LP of Bob and Doug McKenzie's album.
Cool.
It is cool. I mean, the thing is, I have it on CD. And, well, MP3, of course, but
yeah.
For me, getting it on the actual album was really cool because I really appreciate the old albums and whatnot, and he managed to find an old bottle opener.
So Bob and Doug.
A Bob and Doug McKenzie vintage 1981 bottle opener.
Wow.
So I snapped a photo of that, and I'll post that on the along with the show note, or the with the on our website.
Do you have a record player?
Yes, I do. You mean here?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I have one both places.
Yeah.
I actually do. I have a, I can't tell. I don't think I'm a hipster, but there's a lot of evidence that I am. Right?
Yeah.
I have an old rotary phone that I use and love. I brought from Canada. It's like a 1979 rotary phone that actually works. I plug it into my router, believe it or not.
Nice.
Like it plugs directly into my wireless router and works as an analog phone. It can even dials properly, which is weird. I prefer that to cordless. Don't have a cell phone. I do like MP3s. I use iTunes and all that stuff, so I'm not really a hipster. But I do miss records simply for the album art. Yes. If nothing else.
Yeah. It is, you know. They are kind of, you know, I don't know, there's something about the feel of records and, you know, just the putting one on. It's the whole process, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I really like it too. I don't have a record player anymore, but when I go to someone's house and they do, I'm envious.
Get one. They're not very much money.
No, I know, but I can't remember where all my records went, so.
Right, but I'm sure you could dig, you know, maybe find a few or find some stuff on eBay. Like for me, it was a couple years ago with our the last time we were in Canada for Christmas. I went and got all my dad keeps everything, and so he had all our old Christmas records, like from when I was a kid. So Sesame Street, Christmas Eve, or whatever it was called, and all those kinds of things, and Raffy Does Christmas, and all those things, and so I played those for my daughter on the record player, and it was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet your kids would love it.
Yeah, they probably would.
So, something for next year. That's what you should get for next year.
All right. I very well might. Sarah got a... I think we talked about what they're going to get, but got this karaoke machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like she, which again,
didn't she get that a couple years ago?
She did, but she wanted like, you know, wireless microphone. She wants to be able to wander around with the microphone. But no, but let me tell you where I'm going here. So she, again, she's been singing and all that, but then yesterday she got a magic set. Okay. And not like a little kitty kind of magic set. Like this magic set is awesome. It's all like most of the tricks are all wood made, and like it's really, really nice. And so me and her have been learning the tricks, and I think Lisa said it, and I agree, might have a future in podcasting, because that kid is good on the microphone.
Yeah,
she is really good on the microphone. Probably will replace me soon.
And, is there a future in podcasting?
Well, I was gonna say radio, but is that really still a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah. So anyways, just a future on the microphone in some capacity. Let's, whatever it might be. As we were doing the magic show, we're basically a father-daughter team. Mm-hmm. And as I perform the trick, she is usually talking to the audience, getting any necessary audience participation. It's a whole little act that flows. I'm going to at some point have to put one or two tricks up on the video feed for you.
Look forward to that.
Yeah, so it's all Sarah. Lisa was like, oh, you should take that kid to Vegas and put her on a street corner. And then I thought that's where you draw the line.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That didn't work out for Britney Spears.
Is that where she started?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was going to say Brooke Shields, but that's not really that timely.
We saw a kid when we were just recently in Vegas who had a little routine going just out in the middle of old Vegas, was probably 8 or 9, and the parent was like, you know, standing in behind, but she was really good and doing little dancing, and then she had little tricks and stuff. It was just kind of like a talent show thing she was doing. It was what made me think of it.
Do you think Street Corner Podcasting will be the new lemonade stand?
Maybe.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty viable business model.
Yeah, and one more photography thing I wanted to mention. So I took all of the photos that I did for my cousin's wedding, and I wanted to make them a wedding present, you know, and just hadn't gotten around to it. Initially, it was just going to be the photography was the wedding present, like that was my intention, and then they gave me a bunch of money and. And then I thought, well, okay, well, now that doesn't seem right. So I was kind of trying to come up with what I was going to do for a wedding present. And I mentioned, like, I don't know, maybe a year, not a year ago, 6 months ago, about maybe doing like a 50 smiles thing, like, you know, making a like sort of a collage type print, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then instead what I decided is I basically made two collages. And they're 5x5, right? So 25 photos in a square on one side, 25 photos in a square on the other side, all in black and white. I just took my favorite moments from, you know, the whole day. And so I got 50 photos. And then in the middle, I've got one photo sized. So it sort of fits like, you know, like a triptych or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
But all done in very large, and I, you know, I put like I did some photoshopping to make some background, just so it's kind of black, gray, and then the black and white, so it stands out. And then I got it done as a metal print, in a large size for them, and that's what I had done through Blacks.
Nice.
So, well, I'm waiting. They haven't gotten it yet, just because it took like a week and a half for them to do this kind of print. Mm-hmm. And so when they get it, I'm interested to see the result. I'm going to get them to snap a photo, and then I can post that.
Great.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. I've been wanting to get like one of those metal prints or something like that, and just haven't had time to do it for the new house, right? So
yeah.
We've done
a couple for presents for people, and they've all turned out really well, so...
I feel like when they charge like $150 or whatever it is, or more, depending on the size, they put the effort in on getting it right.
Yeah.
That white background looks white.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hope so. Yeah.
Versus the 12 cents you dropped on a 4x6.
Yes.
Right. Did you shoot anything interesting? Because, I mean, we talked about Christmas. That wasn't interesting for me. I didn't shoot anything interesting at Christmas.
Well, I shot... I'll tell you, this is interesting to me. You tell me if it's interesting to you. But so yes. Jack got his remote control car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been basically taking this thing out to the nearby park, And it's been kind of a little bit dewy in the morning, and actually even some frost in the morning. And then we've been taking the car out, and this thing goes really fast. So when the car is driving on the grass with the morning dew, it spits up like water, like crazy. And so uh-huh. I took some photos of the car ripping around through the grass and shot it at, again, I was just playing around at different shutter speeds, and I was amazed at how cool it looks, like as it rips through and spins all this water up. So you can get, depending on the shutter speed, you can get some blur in the tires, yet freeze some of the water, and just the whole idea of motion comes across in some of these photos. So I can post a couple of those. This is, again, kind of the ultimate nerd sort of thing to do. But, you know, like, my kid's at the park with his car, and I'm, you know, shooting pictures of the car. But it does look pretty cool with the way the water spins and the green grass and the color of the car. And it's just kind of a fun thing to play around with.
That sounds awesome. I look forward to seeing those.
Yeah, so there you go.
I also love remote control cars.
Yeah, and the remote control car thing is really fun. So
it is. My wife's nephew. So my nephew-in-law. I don't know. He got a very, like, he's I think he's a couple years younger than Jack, and so he got sort of the smaller version of the remote, like the in the house slower version.
Okay.
Of a remote control car, but he brought it over for Christmas dinner, and we. And he was kind of, you know, he's not very good with it, but he is young. But also, I had one growing up too, and so I know how to drive them very well, either direction, towards me, away from me. It doesn't matter. I'm good like that.
Yeah.
So I put on a little clinic for him, doing figure eights and stuff, and he was pretty impressed with Uncle Alan.
Sweet.
Just saying, if Jack needs, you fly me in. Jack needs some lessons. I can drop those on him.
Yeah, Jack is already pretty good with it. He's kind of one of those kids in the age of anything handheld, like whether it's uh-huh. an iPad or a video game console, or he gets it super quick, like to the point where it's scary that a 5-year-old just, like, he's going to be some kind of programmer or something.
Sure.
Or hacker.
Which, either one, pretty lucrative.
Because stuff like that just is easy for him. So the remote control car is just an extension of, to me, like an outdoor live video game kind of thing, right? Like,
nice.
Here's a handheld control. I can make this do whatever I want.
Plus, you'll get to meet his first girlfriend when he's 35.
Yeah, or later.
Good for him.
Yeah, so there you go.
I'll try to shorten this story up real quick. Long story short, we got a new stove and oven combo. Just before Christmas.
So you've been taking pictures of your wife opening and closing it?
Yeah, of course. That's not that interesting. No, but we had to have it installed, and word on the campfire is, like, with your house insurance, you can't just install it yourself. And plus, I don't know about the voltage here as well as I do in Canada. So we had a friend of ours' dad is a licensed electrician.
Okay.
So he came over and helped us install it. It took like 15, 20 minutes. And he didn't want any much, just like the night, like day before Christmas Eve kind of thing, so we could have Christmas dinner. And he didn't want any money. And so I said, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to meet my friend and his wife. It's actually my friend's wife, his dad. We're going to meet them with a bunch of our friends. We always meet in the marketplace on Christmas Eve day in the like 9:30 in the morning. And go for beers and stuff at 9:30, okay. Which is kind of cool. But it's a really nice spot, you know, in Tubing in, and so that's our tradition. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring my camera. I'm going to snap a family photo of the four of them, my friend and his wife and two kids, and get it printed for the dad. That's going to be our thank you for doing this, the stove.
Okay.
But the idea, and my wife, you know, play it. She was just very, very helpful in all this. She had a frame ready to go, even had it cleaned out and a piece of tape already taped in the frame.
Okay.
So that I would snap the photo, walk the card across the marketplace to the photo place, get it printed, tape it in, hand it to them and go, here's for your dad. So, like, start to finish, 15 minutes framed photo.
Right.
And that was pretty much how it went, except for the place that I went to. The photo place was backed up. It was like a 2-hour wait, so I had to run across the old town and go to a different place. That added 5 minutes to the whole thing, but still got it done immediately and handed it off, and, you know, got it done in black and white, And her dad actually had just shown up as I returned, so I gave it to him directly. And so start to finish, 15 minutes, framed photo, done.
Nice.
It's kind of a, it still, despite the fact that we have cell phones and iPads, it still blows people's minds that you can make this happen. So there you go. We also shot some snow stuff, but we'll talk about that next week because we're running behind here. This week's challenge photo was, well, 2 weeks ago. Because we didn't do it last week. Tis the season.
Right.
So the season, Christmas.
Yes.
I wondered after I issued the challenge, like, oh man, was I specific enough? I don't know. Totally. All right. Let's have a look at yours.
All right. You know where this one is, right?
This is at Van Dusen Gardens.
This is.
Okay, this is what we talked about last week, didn't we? Didn't you get into an altercation during this photo?
No, not this one specifically, but this photo is, I think, if you go back a year ago, mm-hmm. right, to an episode right around this same time last year, this is in the same identical spot that I've now taken, I don't know, 3 or 4 pictures like this. So I kind of like the idea of, you know, Sarah each year growing up in sort of the same background picture. So mm-hmm. that's kind of what I did here. And I used one of my favorite previous tips, which is when you're shooting outside in the near darkness, in order to get in focus, it helps to have something that glows on your person. So I have the little Make-A-Wish Foundation necklace that she's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So that glow is easy for the camera to detect. Of course, I've also, you know, got the focus assist beam firing and whatnot, but just again, gives something else to target. And I didn't get any out of focus pictures using this technique. So last year there was a big controversy about the crop. Do you remember the whole story? Like,
there was a manufactured controversy.
Yeah. And then we had people chiming in who, you know, basically like to kiss up to you, who agree with yes. your idea and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so I did alter I didn't alter the crop, but I did compose the image differently this year, trying to learn.
Was last year, it was a portrait orientation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and there was some sky showing, which we didn't like, and there was a bit of, there's like a cement, like, because there's a little pond in behind there, and there's a little cement mm-hmm. barrier. So I shot it landscape in order to cut out both the sky and the cement landscape whatever thing there.
No, I like last year's better.
Yeah. So there you go. You got any? You want to make any comments?
No, it's just great. I love the idea of doing it every year. That's the kind of thing, and also because you are doing it every year, you don't want to introduce this idea. However, other people might want to. This is a great situation to introduce the shaped bokeh that we talked about on episode once.
Oh yeah.
This is absolutely the wheelhouse for it because there's so many lights that you can throw out of focus that you probably shot this. I'm guessing you brought the 85.
Yeah, that's the 85.
85 and the 6D. You probably shot it around f/2.
Yeah, I think so. f/2 or yeah, very close to that.
Right, and so that's what gives you those lights. Just kind of, you know, make that effect, and it's a great effect. So I really like it. You know, oftentimes you think, oh man, like it'd be nice to have, you know, foreground, middle ground, background. But like this in theory, you could just take in, you know, with a green screen.
Yeah.
But you didn't, and I wouldn't want to. This one does look slightly better than a green screen version of it, but nope, love it.
And that's done with the speed light off camera. Mm-hmm. Just because, of course, you're going to get a totally flatter looking shot with the on camera. So my wife holding a flash with the little mini softbox thingy on top that we have.
So when you are judging, and rightfully so, the other photographers who are going crazy with the tripods and whatnot, what are they thinking about you having your wife being the voice activated light stand?
I think, again, because we're all doing it out of the way, mm-hmm. they're probably thinking, what the heck is she holding that for?
Yes.
That's probably what they're thinking. And so, but I'm okay with that because I probably only snapped, I don't know, 15 photos while we were at Van Dusen this year. So I really wasn't, the camera went away pretty quick this year. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the photos I wanted to shot. So I don't know how many people actually saw what I did because I didn't do it all over Van Dusen Gardens for 2 hours. So there might be 10 people aware of what was happening.
Well, I'll get a hold of those 10 people.
Yeah.
So we'll figure out.
So there you have it. I don't use that miniature softbox very often, but this is a situation where having one is wildly helpful because
it is.
I'm certainly not going to have a umbrella with me or a softbox in this situation. And I'm also not going to like it with the hard light right on her for this photo. I mean, it mm-hmm. still comes off as a little bit hard anyways, but it's at least a little bit softer.
What if you made your wife a white backpack and just drop the flash in there and she just walk around with it?
Good idea. Or maybe I should get my wife to wear a white cape.
Yes. That would be awesome. And just fire it off. Yeah, that would be awesome. We should do that just for fun.
Let's market Two Hosers white capes.
That would be great. The human bounce board.
The best part is, in like 2 weeks from now, Westcott's going to be making a white cape.
In Hungary. Westcott, yeah. Hungary. They'll be doing it. Yeah. And my mother-in-law would be right into that. She's all about being the human bounce board. From a couple weeks ago with the birthday.
Yeah. No, I remember.
Good, because otherwise it was weird.
All right. Okay. So let's move on.
So I had a bunch to choose from because, as I said, it snowed today, and I thought, oh, man, I got a bunch of snow photos. But ultimately, I was like, you know what? We talked about doing a Christmas tree photo, you and I, and so I took a Christmas tree. I wanted to take a Christmas tree photo with my kids, the first one in our house, my son's first real Christmas tree. He was, he's only a couple weeks old last year, so he doesn't really remember much, versus this year he'd be writing a book about his experience.
Right.
But I want to do the first Christmas tree, in the new house. And so this was it. And this was attempt, I think, number 3.
Yeah.
Because my kids are young and uncooperative. And attempt number 1 did end up with Daddy yelling and screaming and biting his tongue on the F word a couple times.
Right, right.
But we got the kids at the right time, got the softbox set up, and shot the photos. This is 'tis the season.
It's cute. I like it. I like Sam's face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very cute. It says all the things that I think you needed to say. Not in love with the frames and the background, but I do understand the constraints that you're under in this situation.
Well, the main issue, like the main thing, like for me, is that we're actually not done decorating the house. Mm-hmm. Like we've done some of it, but this is one area that we just haven't had a chance to complete. And so it was one of those things where I thought, well, I could, spend some time and kind of doll it up. And I thought, no, this was our first Christmas. We didn't have the walls painted the color we wanted. We didn't have, everything exactly where it's going to end up being. So it does look pretty bare if you look at it, especially by North American standards. But
I think the bear would be fine if not for the position of where the tree is with the three frames there. Yeah. I have no problem with the bear. I would just have preferred if those frames weren't on the wall.
I was going to take them down exactly for the same reason, but ultimately I was like, you know what? I'm going to maintain the realism in this, and this is how it was. No, for real.
No, I totally understand.
This is how it was, and obviously I didn't have a softbox lighting them at the time, but the first attempt, I actually had a nice a half straw filter or gel on the flash. And then by the time I set up for the second attempt, I forgot to put that back on. So I'm not in love with the color balance between them and the tree.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough.
Because there's two exposures going on here. Yeah. One, it's on a tripod. And so I shot this at probably around an eighth of a second to allow enough ambient light from the tree. And those are actual real candles. So I wanted to let the candles actually fill up the background.
Right.
And so I have the softbox in the foreground angled way, way away from them. So just the left edge of the softbox is feathering onto them and staying essentially, for the most part, off the tree.
Yeah, you can see where the light on the floor drops off.
Yes. Now, the light on the floor actually hits the floor, and I didn't really have time to flag it off, but that's what's creating the shadow on the wall of the tree. which if I, again, if I had more time, I would have, you know, taken care of, but didn't. And so that's an issue. Again, I'm not going to cry about it, but I wanted to set the exposure for the kids in the front, lit by flash, and let the ambient fill in the background. And so, again, that's why I had the straw gel on the first time and then forgot the second time. Wish I'd remembered.
And all these technicalities, like when you look at this photo in 5 years from now, you're going to love this photo. Not that you don't love it now, but I think you'll like it even more as time goes, because it's the sentimentality of this kind of photo versus the technicalities.
Yeah, exactly. And in the future, I will probably do, you know, probably more along the lines of just the Christmas tree in the background and not worry about getting the whole tree and telling the whole story. Like I shot this on the 50mm at f/8 to make sure everything was in focus.
Yeah.
I won't do that next year.
Yeah. Did you see the photo that I did of Jack? We talked, this is coming back to what we talked about, I don't know, a week or two ago. And I said, I took a photo of Jack in front of a Christmas tree. And that's basically exactly what I did. Shot it with a much narrower depth of field. I have a small room, and just used the tree as the whole background with him closer to the tree. And it worked quite nicely, just with one light, with the one big softbox.
And it looks great. We'll post that photo as well. And that's the thing. It's like, you know what's going on here. There's no confusion, really, as to, oh, man, is he out in the desert?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And what's important is your son and not necessarily the layout of the tree. And so I agree. Like, in the future, I'm going to probably lean more towards that.
And I also, as a family photo, did a family Christmas, like, run-in photo of me and my kids and wife on the backwards couch. And I, very similar to your photo here, didn't rearrange anything other than put the couch in front of, like, an already busy background. Like, there's a little bit of tree, a little bit of stockings, fireplace, whole bunch of things that, I mean, if I spent a whole whack of time to organize everything differently, could have had the ideal backdrop, but just decided it's Christmas day, I'm not doing that.
Right.
And I know as well, looking at that photo, I'm just happy about the smiling faces, and that's really, you get that it's Christmas, smiling faces, family shot, done.
And the fact that you shot this on deck 25 instead of June makes your life a lot easier.
Yes.
That would have been a lot of set decoration.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And also, like yourself, I did, you know, like, I took this photo three tries, that's it. Like, that's, it's done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. We'll post that as well. A lot of photos this week to post.
Yeah. I'm basically making up for probably the last 3 months of not taking any photos. That I took a bunch in the last 2 weeks.
Same here, as a matter of fact. I took a lot. So, in fact, I even had one more I was going to talk about, but we'll talk about it next week probably, about I retook the terrible one of my kids in the snow. Remember the challenge photo a couple weeks ago?
Oh, well, you're talking about it now. Why don't you just talk about it?
Okay, I just did.
Okay, so
we had snow today.
And what's the name of this photo so I can look at it?
Schnee.
Oh, Schnee.
German for snow.
You're just being very hoity-toity.
Uh-huh. Well, no one will see it. Like, no one ever had to know it was called that. It was just the file name, and no one would have ever seen that. But now that you bring it up, yes, I am. I'm being that guy.
Oh, that's a great photo. I love it.
That's what I meant to take a couple weeks ago, but we didn't have the snow.
My only beef with it is the fact that it would need to be very large to see their faces.
Oh, I took close-ups this week. But my point being is the one I took a couple weeks ago was a wide shot, so I you know, replicated it by doing another wide shot.
Yeah.
I did get my coverage, but you know what? Let's not talk about it next week. Let's talk about it right now. Here's the quick tip for taking pictures in the snow.
Okay.
Aside from the fact that this was very, very wet snow, and so it was hitting your camera, it was turning to water really quickly.
Okay.
So I kind of had to be careful about, you know, I didn't want to leave it out too long and get wet. But metering is always an issue. And so we talked about it in the past, how to meter for this. What I do essentially is I want to maintain a little bit of detail in the snow. Now, I don't want the snow to be gray, which is what your camera wants it to be, because it is dominating the frame.
Mm-hmm.
So the meter is going to look at this and underexpose. That's what's going to happen. So I override that. I basically shoot this on manual. And before even metering on my kids, I could take a quick reading off the snow. I set it to +2 on the meter.
Okay.
So I just dial it in, get the shutter speed dialed in so that it's metering at +2, and then turn and snap a photo of my kids. And for the most part, within, you know, a fraction, the exposure is bang on their faces. And you can, and plus, if you shoot raw, you have a little wiggle room to adjust, you know, the contrast and all that, and bring back any highlights that you might have overblown in post. So you're going to get a really good image pretty much every time.
Yeah, no, it looks good. Looks really good.
Meter off the snow. That's the tip.
Great.
This week's topic, Adam, I asked you to come up with 25 New Year's resolutions.
Yes. I came up with zero.
Yeah, no, we didn't ask that. I'm not doing that. No, this year I thought we'd talk about our top three photos of the year.
Okay. I had a hard time with this.
I did. I could only find two.
No, that's not what I meant. There's too many photos, and I got to this late last night, and I didn't know where to go with here, because, you know, favorite versus, you know, best, like, to me, mm-hmm. they're two different things. Like,
oh, did we say favorite? No, I said best.
Oh, I went with favorite. Sorry.
The thing is, I felt the same way. I thought, oh man, like, you know, best implies that other people will also agree.
Yeah, no, I didn't go with that route at all.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's fine. Let's figure out, and maybe you can tell me why. Now, I'm looking at yours in the order 1, 2, and 3. Are those?
Oh, they're
in
not.
Order?
No, they're no order. No particular order.
Do you want? Okay, I'm gonna pick your number three anyways. Let's start with your number three and work backwards.
Okay. Well, my number three was a shot that was my daughter and my son at the poker table, and this is one of my favorites. I don't have this in a frame, but it's going to be just one of those things I've forgotten to do, because it's favorite for the fact that I had this photo exactly in my head before I ever took the photo, the lighting, everything, and I was able to materialize it. So again, it's of my kids. I like it for that reason as well. But this was more of a favorite conceptually because, again, sometimes you have an idea and you can't make it happen. This was completely imagined, and it looked better when it was taken than it even did in my head. So I like it for that reason, because it sort of shows technically where I've come in photography. So that one's for that reason.
Right.
Good enough, right? We don't need to go any deeper into that.
No, this was one of your challenge photos, right?
Yeah, at some point it was a challenge photo, yeah.
Right. So now when we talked about, you know, the top three photos of the year, it could be challenge photos, but it didn't have to be.
Right.
So this was definitely one of your challenge photos.
Yes.
So people can listen back and hear us ramble on about that. I forget which episode. Just listen to them all then.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
no, I agree. This does come through and shows, you know, where you were, you know, as a photographer, you know, compared to, well, 4 years ago, especially.
Yeah.
Doing some point and shoot. You weren't going to do this with your point and shoot camera.
No. No.
So, and I like the expressions, and this one will be the one that, you know, this is essentially the kid version of dogs playing poker.
Yes.
Love it.
So that's that. Number two.
Let's do my number three.
Okay. We'll go back and forth. I was just going to rattle mine off, but I like your version better.
I did mine in order. So we'll go in reverse order, but I did mine in what I think, again, I think were my best images. And I didn't go necessarily the favorites, because I have other ones that were favorites that didn't make the cut. Because they weren't very good photos, but they were still my favorites.
Okay. All right.
And for those listening, both of you, we'll post galleries of our runner ups, or also rans, I guess we'll call them. Because what I did, and I think what Adam did, was compile, you know, just start going through and compiling a bunch of what he thought were his favorites, and then picking three out of that group. So we're going to go ahead and post just, you know, a bunch of random other ones. I think Adam has 16 other ones. I got 20
consider. I'll find four more.
You find four more. Make it even. Absolutely. Yeah. Because 23 is a nice round number.
Yeah.
And so we'll post those on there as well. So a lot of photos this week. And you can have a look and see what we're talking about. But my number three photo, all my photos are of my kids this year.
Yeah.
That I happen to like. But this one, number three, is my son on the steps in the marketplace.
Yeah, and it's the expression.
Yep.
And the light is all very nice. There's texture, there's depth, there's a bunch of things going on, but again, it's all about the expression. It's super cute.
For me, it was a combination, like it was everything coming together. It was the expression was number one. If he's kind of got like a terrible look on his face, then this is going to be nothing. This wouldn't be good at all. Also, for some reason, the lack of color for me, I like it here. I don't know why. Normally, I like bright, punchy colors or black and white. But this is a color photo, but it's almost all grayscale.
Like yeah, but I think that part of it is what makes his face pop so much, right?
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, and I got lucky with that slash of sunlight going across the ground in the background. Like that white line going through the back of his head is a slash of sunlight.
Yeah.
So I have all these kind of this, it adds these different layers to it. And for me, it's a combination of all those things, but just the look of sheer joy on his face with decent catch lights. Now this is 100% available light. There's not even any bounce involved here. So that's why I was pretty thrilled to get those kind of catch lights.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
Adam's number two.
My number two is one of the is a wedding photo from my cousin's wedding, and I absolutely love this photo, but probably for a different reason than just someone who's casually looking at it. I like it because the hotel that they had is the backdrop where they had the wedding, and this is like a landmark in where they live. Like it's 100+ years old. Mm-hmm. I think it might even be more than that. I'm not a historian, but I wanted the photo to look old. Like I wanted it to look like an old photo that could have been taken whatever 60 years ago. And I like it. I like it for that reason. To me, it looks like a very old photo using, you know, the modern technology. So
again, absolutely,
why it's one of my favorites. So that backdrop with very clean, nothing in there. And this is off camera flash somehow lighting them, but it doesn't look like off camera flash.
Right.
So I like it for all of those reasons. I have probably better wedding photos that I took of these two, but this was favorite.
Right. No, the great thing about this hotel, the background, is that it does, there's no real anachronistic giveaways here. I mean, I suppose the street lights, those are probably, you know, some sort of LED street lights now.
Yeah.
But in general, they look, yes, my daughter joined me. I'm not sure why she's in here. Why are you in here?
I want to.
Because you want to? Okay, well, talk about this photo that you're looking at here. What do you see? You're slowing down the podcast. Okay, maybe you should head on out. Can you go out now, please?
But I want to stay by you.
Okay, go sit on the floor then, okay? Okay, good for you. You can turn the light on if you want.
Throw her some breadcrumbs.
Yeah, absolutely. This does look like an old photo. You know, I mean, because the old ones are black and white, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, absolutely. It's a great one. And it's great when you have an opportunity to shoot at a location like this, because this doesn't come up very often. Even when you get older type looking places, there's usually something modern, you know, in the window, or, you know, like a modern car parked out in front of it.
Exactly.
And this is one of those cases where you know, you're really fortunate and you took full advantage of it. So,
and we're just standing out in the street, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, no, that was number two.
Love it.
Okay.
All right. My number two, also one of my kids. It's my daughter this time. And
this was a challenge photo.
I think all of mine were challenge photos, as a matter of fact, which I didn't consider. I didn't go through my challenge photos and look and pick them out. I'm not sure if they're all challenge photos. Never mind. Cut that part out.
I don't think the Sam one was.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, this one was a challenge photo, definitely. And I just liked what was going on here with the window light. This was at our old place before we moved. And so I snapped this as we were moving. So the room was pretty empty. This is my daughter's room. Like the purple walls. And the window light coming in just really worked. And so she sat down in the chair, and I managed to get her to sit still for 4 to 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And got this one.
Yeah, no, it's great. I like it.
And again, that was, geez, this full frame 85 mil. That's how I ended up getting this shot.
Okay.
Adam's number one.
My number one, and again, in no particular order.
This one's number one.
This is kind of an example of, again, a favorite that is technically not a good photo in any way, shape, or form. But this was a friend that came out to visit. I was the best man in his wedding, and I hadn't seen him in like 10 years. And he came out to visit in Vancouver. In the summer, and we were at one of my favorite beaches, and it's middle of the day, high noon, and this shot was taken without any flash, so obviously hard sunlight coming in from the one side, and I did have the whole flash set up, but this photo was taken without any of it. My wife snapped it, and I love it for the fact that It's so simple, and I'm not even looking at the camera. And again, there's all of those technical things that are
wrong
with it.
Where are you looking?
I don't know exactly. I'm looking slightly off. I don't know if there's other people standing around, and so for a moment, I'm not looking directly at the camera. And I like it even more for that reason. It's just kind of like it's a moment caught where it doesn't necessarily seem like it's all posed or. Mm-hmm. Technically sound, but it was just, hey, this was the one photo I got when my buddy was here of us together, and we hadn't seen each other in 10 years. So when I look back at, like, we went to university together, we went to high school together. When I look back and sort of look at us in high school, you know, like, we look pretty similar. We haven't changed a whole lot.
Ouch.
Yeah, which is a good thing, because most of our friends, you know, probably have gained 300 pounds. And
right.
Yeah, and I lost my hair pretty early, so I look the same.
Now, I'm going to pinpoint one of the two reasons why you like this photo. Have you ever, when you talk to this, get your friend here, do you ever use his first name?
No.
No. It's either nickname or last name.
Yeah, and his is a combination of last name, nickname.
Is it Smitty?
No, his name is Poshar, and we call him Posh.
Okay, there you go. So it's a nickname.
He hates it when you call him Posh.
Well, I'll mark that down. Next time I'm rolling with Posh.
Yeah.
No, that's how you can tell. That's how you can tell. Like, I think about it. I'm like, you know what? Like, all my buddies, I don't refer to them. I mean, on the show, you know, I use your first name, but, you know, you're Schwartz.
Yeah.
Or Schwartzy. If we get lazy and you can't think of a nickname, it's Schwartzy.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, yeah, that's how you know you got good buddies. This is when you don't know their first name. Another reason is I think why you like this is that this really is the best of a bad situation. Like this isn't an outstanding National Geographic photo.
No.
However, you compare this to almost every single shot photographed at high noon. And this looks great. I mean, you got did you lighten it up in post, or what did you? How did you balance out the shadows?
I think what's the trick that we had a name for it? You called it
the save.
Yeah, the save. Yeah. Right. So this is used the save.
That's a great way to a quick and dirty way to do it is to just say, okay, great. Again, I'm not going to submit this photo for National Geographic, but I do want it. I want to keep it, and make it look good. So boom, bring up the shadows with a shadow slider.
Yeah.
And you get a great save. And this is better than most anything you're going to see taken at this time.
And again, I put this in my category of favorite, not best.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. Totally understand.
Yeah, I think I could do better than this.
I think you have.
But the thing is, too, is that if we redid this and I did all lighting and everything, I think it would take on a different feel, because that's not really... That's not really the buddy relationship. It's hard to recreate the buddy relationship in a photo, like especially mm-hmm. like a staged photo.
Absolutely.
So I think that's part of it. Is like, to me, this says buddy, and it's not staged. It's just, here, pass your wife the camera. We want to get a shot together, and there it is.
And there is that sort of arms around each other. It says, hey, we're pals, but there is a certain awkwardness to it that says we're good pals.
Yeah.
And I do like that, because it's the same with all of our tight friends. Is like, it's not a lot of shots of us hugging,
right?
You know, like, they're more likely a shot of punching the other guy in the throat, which
or drawing some obscenities on someone's face.
Yeah, Oh, I have plenty of those. Yeah. Oh, I got some good ones of those. Those are my favorites. But that's how you know that, you know, that Posh is your buddy. You know? Yeah. Anyways. All right, here's my number one. Okay. And I do feel like this is my, like this one, the other ones were kind of, you know, maybe they're my favorites, maybe they're best, I don't know. This one is my best. This is the best photo I've taken this year. And on my own personal opinion, this might be the best photo I've ever taken.
Wow, you're putting it on a pedestal.
My previous photo that I thought was my best was not of a person, which is kind of rare for me because I like shooting people. The one I took, I have to do the math on it now, probably 10 years ago, I took a photo on film of the John Lennon Memorial in Strawberry Fields.
I knew you were going to pick that.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
So to me, that was, until this year, that was my previous favorite photo I've ever taken. And
nobody else has ever taken that photo.
No, but other people have, absolutely. Like, you go on to Flickr, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Not mine.
Yours is better.
It is better.
Yeah, no, I think yours is good.
And so, I mean, a lot of it was fortune, a lot of it was fear, because at the time, I mean, I was traveling, I was in New York City by myself. I spent a week there by myself, and which is kind of an odd thing to do, but I was in. And
are we talking about your number one, or are we talking about your John Lennon?
The Imagine one. I was okay. Never mind. Skip that. Another time. So my number one. So up until this year, and this was in the summer in Richmond.
Yeah.
At the pool, we went one day, and we went a number of times with. Your wife and kids to this pool.
Yeah.
But this is one of the days after that. Either your kids had left already or they weren't there that day. And so for me, I was able to just, the sun hit the right spot at the exact right time of day. There was nobody at the pool. I think it was 10 minutes before closing, so everyone had already left. And thus, those cubby holes, those 1973 cubby holes, were empty. And kind of provided like a nice neutral backdrop with some like a pattern to it. And here's my daughter getting out of the pool, and everything to me, everything, the composition, everything just is coming together on this one.
Yeah, it's a great photo.
No, so this is the one I'd probably get printed on metal.
Yeah, and I think it would look great on metal, just with the colors and the rim lighting. And no, I think it would look fantastic on a metal print. So there you go. You got something that you can print on metal.
Absolutely. And then I'll take a photo and send it to your cousin.
Perfect.
And he can compare it. So there you go. So, but now, what I wanted to talk about before we get in, move on, you know, to our lives.
Right.
Did you feel like when you're going through all your photos that you considered your best, right now there's 19 of them, but there'll be 23 by the time this airs. Did you kind of feel like there was a unifying style or theme to them?
Generally my kids.
I was actually surprised when I saw them that your kids were only in one of your photos.
Well, for this year, because I tried to not do that, because again, my challenge photos almost every time are my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, okay, well, of course I got to include one of my kids, but I wanted to include favorite for different reasons. So I tried to pick, you know, completely different reasons that I like them. That's kind of what I was going for, more than,
uh-huh.
I mean, yeah, I could pick lots and lots and lots of photos of my kids.
Right. And, yeah. And a lot of those are for sentimental reasons. And I did the same. I actually tried to go and find some other pictures I took that I thought were better, that weren't of my kids. But just, I mean, sheer, the odds are it's going to be my kids, because that's what I shoot the most right now.
Right.
In terms of this kind of stuff. But no, so I did try very hard to find other things. But my ultimate top three were my kids. What about style? I haven't gone through all of your alternates yet, but out of your three photos you picked, two of them are lit.
Okay.
I found this was not on purpose for me. I found that out of the three I chose and the 20 alternates, out of the 23, I only lit three of them.
Hmm.
And two of them were from the same session. And two different sessions that were lit. Everything else was available light, like not even bounce, nothing. It was just a situation of either recognizing nice light or seeking it out.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine, and a lot of them are lit. No, I'd say it's more 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah, no, maybe not. More of them are lit, not lit. Yeah, it's pretty much of a mixed bag. So
okay.
I really do like lighting. That's part of what I like to do. Mm-hmm. But I probably don't take as many lit photos as I do non-lit photos. That's the likelihood is I just have my camera and I don't have the whole setup. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at it and it looks like it's a pretty even split.
There you go. I think if you'd taken the same set of photos from mine the year prior, I think it would have been a lot more lit photos. Maybe 2 years ago. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm sure I'm going to be lighting more photos next year. Maybe it's because my kids won't sit still for lit photos.
Yeah.
Like I don't have a reason for it.
But natural light sometimes that it just looks better, right? But it's funny because I picked some of the wedding photos because I just really liked. I had such a great time at my cousin's wedding, and there were so many photos that I really liked from that wedding that for the large part, most of the stuff shot there was all lit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of have to. I mean, that's kind of the way weddings go generally.
Yeah.
When you're doing the portrait session, and then when you're in the reception hall, it's usually pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Okay, the last thing before we move on, we're going to talk about picking the other guy's best photo from the challenge photos.
Right.
So yes. So here's the photo I went through. I went through all 50 that you've taken. This week was number 51 on the year.
Okay.
And so we didn't include that, obviously, but the previous 50 photos I went through and I picked out what I think was your best one, and it didn't make your selection.
Where can I see this?
It says other best.
Other best. Okay.
So you're the other guy, and that's your other best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's one I was actually present for. I'm not in. Maybe I might have been holding the flash. I forget. But it's your kid's jumping rope.
Yeah, I like this photo.
I love it. I love the looks on your kids' faces. That to me makes everything.
Yeah, I think, and I don't even have this one in honorable mentions, which is a mistake. But I think as I was skimming them last night, just pulling photos in there, I just missed it.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah,
yeah, but no, this one is. I mean, for me, I was there when it was taken, and so I remember kind of what led up to this photo.
Yeah,
which even makes it even better for me. But just in general, just in a vacuum. If you just showed a stranger this photo, I think you're going to get a great response, and people. There's no one's going to go, nah. it really is great. I mean, your wife is in the photo just enough to add context. I mean, obviously there's all these kinds of rules, like, hey, maybe she should be included entirely or left out entirely. I disagree. I think she's in there to provide context. That's my wife and daughter in the background, technically distracting from your kids, but not distracting at all.
Yeah.
It's everything is boom right on your kids' expressions about what's going on and just the sheer joy and excitement of what they're doing.
And air. Look at the air.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And Jack's getting up there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that photo. So that will maybe get slid into one of the 23 photos that will be in my honorable mentions. Yeah.
Okay, well, so the one that you chose of mine, I didn't. I mean, I actually like this photo reasonably well, but it didn't make my honorable mentions either.
I love it. To me, it's sort of the expression on your daughter's face. Like, I think all too often we pick the big smiling like grin face as the photos we love, but I love this photo for the fact that she isn't sure, she does not like something about this situation.
Oh, no, she's sure.
Yeah, and just the effect with the spray of the water is fantastic. And you know, you've got rim light, and again, we know this is manufactured light, but it doesn't look it at all. So if you showed somebody this, I think they would just accept that it was sunlight coming through the fence, and the fence is lit up just enough. The composition, everything is bang on for me. So this definitely should be in a album or on a wall somewhere.
I'm trying to think if it was one of the ones that London Drugs screwed up. It might have been.
Well, this seems like it would be a tough one for the printing side of it.
It could be. But when I was going through, you know, which I was going to pick for my alternates, or you know, or in general, I did see this one, and it didn't. And I thought about it, and I think for me, what I didn't like about it is that I know I can do better. Like just little things about, but not just her face, which I do love. I can never replicate that.
What I was going to say. It's like, you could not pose this again. You might get the light more what you had envisioned, but you won't get the face.
No, that's not going to happen. But you know, I could tweak the light a little bit. I would, you know, I'd probably have the hose in a slightly different place, and maybe not have the fence at all. Maybe have a more flat background. I don't know. I mean, for me, I know that fence, you know, and so for other people, it might look kind of like a fence. Maybe it looks exactly like a fence. I don't know. You know, maybe it could be an airplane hangar. Who knows? But if you like, I mean, you and I both know that fence very, you know what it is and where this was taken. So I don't know if that detracts from it or not. And so I see the imperfections or the things that I would correct the next time around if I could ever get her to cooperate in a photo again in my life.
But here's the thing, and that's the funny thing about it, is that I see, like, we both obviously take a lot of photos. We both understand sort of, you know, the technical elements going into making this kind of photo. And in our own photos, I think we find more fault with them.
Mm-hmm.
Versus with somebody else looking at that photo, you get a totally different perspective, because all you think about is what you should have done differently. Yeah. And all I see is the
perfection.
What you did looks really good to me. And in the photo that you chose of my kids, again, it's almost like I'm too close to it. I see the too many of the technical faults versus just the super awesome expression. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, I can find all sorts of faults in that photo that I'd like to correct. But again, it's a little bit of perspective sometimes in somebody else looking at it that we need, because I think we're too critical of our own work.
And this is what I was talking about a year ago when we had that controversy, was as time goes on, your own memory of that specific incident tends to blur a little bit. So the in 10 years you're not going to remember that there was a cement abutment at Van Dusen Gardens. It's just not going to be part of what you remember about that. You'll remember the expression. So those technical details will eventually fade away. They're faster for other people. Like, obviously the technical details of your photo, because it's your house, I've been there, but I don't live there. It's a much different feeling. That fades for me, you know, within a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. For you, it's going to take 5 years minimum,
yeah,
and some pretty heavy drinking. and that's when I noticed, like, photos that I took 5 or 6 years ago, I'm starting to feel that way about them, where I'm like, I never liked that photo, but I don't remember the setting as much. Now I remember the emotion behind it, and that's where the focus becomes. So you're right. Looking at it through other people's eyes, it's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And sometimes we think our own stuff is better than it maybe is for the rose-colored glasses that sometimes we get for one thing in a photo, and then other people look at it and think it's garbage.
Yeah, I guess that happens now and then.
Occasionally. I'm just saying occasionally, not for me in particular, because I think I'm way too critical on myself.
Yeah.
I think for some,
everybody else on Facebook.
yeah. Facebook is a good example of that. Yeah.
Challenge for next week. It's new year. Let's just do new. It doesn't have to be new year, the challenge. Just new.
Okay.
That is it. That is 2014.
Wow. This is a long episode. This is a two-parter.
I wish we had time for that, but I think we're going to have a guest next week. We're trying to line up a new guest for the new year.
How's that t-shirt money rolling in?
Oh, yeah. I bought a summer house. Yeah. It's for the two of us. We can both use it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Munich.
Okay.
So probably more accessible for me.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, people are starting to receive. I don't know. We don't get paid yet. There's probably, I think the company we use, there is a 700-day net on it. So
great.
We'll see some money probably around 2018.
No, I just want to know if you know anybody who bought one that isn't related to you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And people are receiving them now already. People have already received their orders.
Wow.
So I'm hoping to see some tweets out there or some send some photos of you wearing the t-shirt. No one's going to.
Okay, yeah, probably not.
They're not going to. I think they're really washing the car with it.
Or show us pictures of you buying stuff on Amazon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Do that. So, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca, which of course I've got a bunch of photos that I am ready to post to update that site, but of course holidays have not gotten around to anything.
Same here. Yes. Absolutely. I'm just getting caught up on the actual holiday photos right now. So
it's, and same with Facebook, Two Hosers Facebook, except for I haven't gotten around to doing anything on there for a while either. So I've kind of fallen off the map a little bit.
It's going to be a tidal wave next week though.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
There you go. You find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links to everything you need to know and Amazon, as Adam mentioned. So that's it, Adam. Until next year, get out there and make better photos.